Tour Junkies.
What's going on, golf addicts? Welcome to the Tour Junkies podcast, coming at you for the Memorial 2021 from Jack's Place at Mirrorfield Village in Columbus, Ohio. And we raise our glasses and we cheers to you know, all those that gave their lives, the families, for celebrating this Memorial Day. You know, gave your lives in service to the country. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for the freedoms that we all enjoy. The freedom to get on this podcast and talk about whatever we want, maybe say whatever we want, even if producer Sam doesn't really want us to do that. But we appreciate that we do have the freedom to do that. So happy Memorial Day. Hope it was a great one for everyone. Thanks to everyone joining live on YouTube. We appreciate it. It might be a little skinny tonight. You know, I'm sure people are out doing stuff, probably drunk. You know, probably some people on boats that are now waterlogged and drunk and sunburned and all that good stuff. But we're here. We're here. We're professionals. We're going to keep it moving. Colonial's over. Jason Cockrack outlasted Jordan Spieth in his own backyard at Colonial. That was pretty shocking. But here we are, and I'm excited about it. Pat, I've got tequila tonight. Tequila and soda, a little Casamigos, and a little bit of lime. What you drinking tonight? I know what you're about to be drinking here in just a second, but what you drinking?
Dude, that's good. Yeah, I got a little beer tonight. Nothing fancy, just a nice little blonde ale tonight. And
you've been doing a lot of beer lately. Less vodka on the show.
I think I've done beer the entire year. In case you're not paying attention.
Oh, maybe that's what that was.
Yeah,
time flies when you're having fun, buddy. I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe COVID did that to you.
Oh, you forgot
about that.
You know what? I keep forgetting to blame stuff on COVID fog because I know that's a real thing.
Yeah,
and I keep forgetting to blame it on that. So. Hopefully I'll do better with that. Hopefully I'll do better.
I've refrained from Planet Tito's most of the year. Now, later on in the evening, sometimes I get to Planet Tito's, but this year has been kind of a off, you know, I haven't really gotten to Planet Tito's.
Yeah, we need to rekindle that every now and then. As always, presented to you by our friends at Fantasy National. Head over to fantasynational.com/TJ. Get yourself 20% off the finest, the best the world has to offer. Just golf mecca of stats and numbers and data and good and just goodness. That's all at Fantasy National. All of our stats come straight from Fantasy National. You can customize it a billion different ways. Lineup builders, optimizers, head-to-head matchup betting tools, and all the data comes straight from the PGA Tour. It's licensed by the PGA Tour to Fantasy National. They've been doing this for like 4 or 5 years. They've been supporting us, and we've been supporting them ever since day one. We trust them. It is our go-to. We've looked at other options out there, but not every option has licensed PGA Tour data. Fantasy National does, and they're the best, and they continue to improve the product. So if you're betting on golf or you're playing daily fantasy golf to any capacity, even if you're a beginner, it's worth spending the like $10 a week or whatever, maybe less than that. It's worth trying out the weekly, trying out the monthly. Just give it a shot because it's literally the best it has to offer. It'll save you a ton of time and research, has a ton of course information, course data. So go to fantasynational.com/TJ and let them know Tour Junkies sent you and get that 20% off discount. Let us help you help them, help Fantasy National, helping each other. Shout out to our boy, Alan Klutz at AL Cuts on DraftKings for winning the Nut Hut Listener League. Alan, I think this is his second victory, which will give him two entries into the Nut Hut Finals. And the winner of the Nut Hut Finals is going to get an all expenses paid trip to come play golf with you and I in either Savannah or Augusta. Alan also, you know, this is karma because a long time ago, Alan left this review about the Nut Hut. There's a picture of Alan. Look at him. He says, I love the Nut Hut. I've been able to keep my DFS game evolving thanks to the great members and talking out game theory with the TJ family. $10 a month is a steal, and if you're not using these tools, you're falling behind. Dang right, Ann Arbor. Dang right, Alan Klutz, not Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor.
I just jumped down there. COVID fog.
Yeah,
see?
See? Michigan.
See? COVID fog.
Shout out Michigan.
But did you see that? Did you see what I did there? I quickly blamed it on COVID fog.
Yeah.
So thank you, Alan. Great stuff there. We appreciate it, buddy. You the man. Thanks for being a Nut Hut member and just holding it down. Now, speaking of the Nut Hut, I heard, because I wasn't in the chat last week, okay? I will be in it this week, all night, ready to roll. It's going to be great. but I wasn't in the chat last week, but I guess there was a bet that went down. Pat, do you want to tell the people what went down with that? You were hammered. You made a bet with somebody.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just can't get enough of this damn ranch water shot bet. So I guess, you know, so I thought I was going to get away with another one. Well, I did get away with another one last week.
You did, yeah.
But this week, a listener and also my twin brother, DirecTV Perry, he was a big fan of Brian Harmon. I like Brian. Now, look, this is what's so bad about this bet. I went with a Florida Gator against a Georgia Bulldog, which is just wrong by so many things. God. But I did not think that Brian Harmon was going to have a good week. I thought he was a little bit overrated this week. And so I took Billy Horschel over Brian Harmon.
It really serves you right for doing that. I mean, the Gators,
it really does. Yeah. I agree. And every time Billy Horschel has screwed me every time I do something involving him this year. Like I think I had another bet with Billy Horschel this year and he didn't do it. I can't remember what it was.
It's the Florida thing.
But F Billy Horschel. Now, I like him. I like Billy Ho, actually. He's a good guy. He's been on the show. But damn if he doesn't screw me on these stupid bets. And so I'm finally going to have to take this ranch water shot bet.
Okay. So what do you got here? Have you already made it?
No.
Okay.
I've got one, which I think is the first step. And then I've got some ranch.
Okay. Nice. Hold it up so we can see that thing going in there.
Okay, you want to see it going in?
Yeah, we want to see it coagulate live. Man, if you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing out. So Pat finally has to take the ranch water shot. Oh, yeah. Ooh, oh, God, cool. Look at that. It just, the way that it retains its shape.
Look at how it does that.
Is so disgusting.
It's like a little, like a little snake.
Oh, I'm starting to feel it a little bit. Oh,
bringing back memories. So,
I mean, really, you got to look at that.
No, it's really gross. It looks really disgusting. A Hidden Valley worm.
Hidden Valley worm. I like that one. Hidden Valley worm.
Wait a minute. Bryson D? Is Bryson DeChambeau watching this?
He's wanting me.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right, here we go. I can't look at this anymore. I got to take this.
Straight water and Hidden Valley Ranch. Here we go. Pat finally loses and has to pay up with the ranch water shot. Down the hatch.
Okay. The water's the problem.
You took it way better than I did. I will admit, I was a total I was a little off on that, but yeah. You all
it
right?
It just ruins ranch for you because, like, you can't, like, the mixture of the water and the ranch really. Oh,
that little Hidden Valley worm like is now traveling down into Pat's rosé-filled belly.
I did not like that. Okay, let me wash that down.
So
with
beer. Disgusting! I hate that stuff. goodness gracious!
All right, thanks, DirecTV.
Yeah,
jerk.
Yeah, and you
thanks,
know
Billy Ho.
I gotta say something, man. I gotta say something. Maybe this is for another show. I kind of feel like DirecTV Perry is losing his DirecTV-ness. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a compliment to you, Pat.
Oh, wow.
I kind of feel like things have developed. You know, you've grown a beard. You've changed the way you do your hair. Your brother used to be a little skinnier than you. Now he's kind of not. And he doesn't have a beard, and he does his hair the same way. And I'm starting to wonder if, like, you've kind of snatched the DirecTV-ness from DirecTV, and like now he's Cable Perry and you're DirecTV Perry. And this has been discussed. Wow. This has actually been discussed with myself and others in the last couple of weeks behind you and DirecTV Perry's back a little bit. And it's I hate to say that it's kind of leaning towards DirecTV Perry losing his thing, but it is what it is. Okay, sorry. Okay, Pat, let's get into this. Let's talk about Memorial, Jack's Place,
yeah.
Mirfield Village. But actually, in addition to what you've got, I did get some intel from the course today from a couple of our caddy friends that saw the renovations. I'm sure you'll talk about that a little bit, but I can fill you in on some things I heard too. So go ahead, buddy.
Well, I'm glad you did that. Yes, so we are at Jack's Place. That is Muirfield Village Golf Club. It is a par 72. Now it is stretched out just over 7,500 yards. They've added basically about 100 yards or a little more to this course with the renovations. You've got 120 players in the field this week because it is an invitational, just like we had last week. T65 and ties will make the cut. And here's the thing. You're going to have a lot of 6 of 6s make it through. This is what happened last week for me. I actually had several 6 of 6s and single entry lineups that did not cash whatsoever. And yeah, we could see that again this week. But it's a fantastic course. I mean, it's a classical design. You've got tree-lined fairways. But they did have major renovations, like you mentioned here. I talked about the lengthening of the course over 100 yards. But outside of that, I mean, pretty much, I believe it's 14 of the 18 greens out here were totally redone. So totally resurfaced, brand new bent grass greens here this week. They've got sub-air under all of them. So they really just kind of upgraded, did a little facelift to the greens, and also changed the bunkering as well around some of these greens also. So I think that's something that you're going to want to look at. You know, length is something that, you know, we always talk about as being, you know, it's a factor for sure, but this is a second shot golf course. It always has been. It still is. So you've really got to be great on approach. And then if you do miss these greens, you got to be pretty good scrambling around the greens as well. You look at the rough here, it's going to be thick. You've got Kentucky bluegrass rough. And Jack has said the reason he did a lot of these renovations was he just wanted this course to be a little bit sterner of a test for these guys. He wanted to test all facets of their game. He narrowed some of these fairways. It's usually been pretty wide off the tee here, but he did narrow it up a little bit on some of the holes here. So I think that's what, you know, something we're going to look at. Now, like I said, still expect this to be a second shot golf course. I'm definitely going to look at approach. Looking at course history a little bit, but less this year, because I want to kind of see, you know, I think it's still going to play very similar, but course history, I'm not going to weigh quite as much as I might normally for this course. I'm looking at strokes gained approach, looking at form, ball striking, putting on bent grass greens. And I think this is a week for sure, and you're going to talk about some caddy information, but where you do need to get into the Nut Hut later in the week, because we're going to get more information as the week goes on as far as the course setup and all that kind of stuff. But it should be a test for these guys. You know, a lot of water on this course that's in play. So I think it will be interesting to see what happens this week.
For sure. And I would say this before I go further. Listen, in the YouTube comments, we need more ideas for a nasty shot. So for a penalty, you know, for losing a bet, we've done the ranch water thing. I've had to do it. Pat's had to do it. Last week, we had a listener send in a video having to do it. So comment in the YouTube comments what is a good idea for a really gross shot that we can take on the show live when we lose another bet. That'd be good stuff. Do the comment. Comment for the algorithm, people.
Yeah.
Comment.
This thing really, by the way, is sticking. It is sticking like it's still halfway down my esophagus.
That's gross. That's gross. Comment, 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 like, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, please. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. So comment a nasty shot. All right, let me tell you what I heard from the course today. Had a couple caddies that walked it around, have been out there before. 100% way more of a ball striker's course now than a bomber's track. I guess Jack brought in some trees, he tightened some fairways, some things changed there. So something to look out for. Also said, just around on the greens, he kind of said they took out some really crazy slopes that probably were a little excessive, but they added some slope where they needed it. So he thinks in terms of, because this place typically is kind of tough to get up and down and tough to, when you miss around the greens, it tends to be a tough spot. He tends to think that it's not as penal this year or with the renovations. I mean, we'll find out, but he thinks it's a little easier to navigate when you do miss greens. So just some things to think about there. I mean, I think looking at course history still makes some sense. I don't think it's changed that much. I do think 2020 is a kind of an outlier. I mean, 2020 was first of all, it was played in I guess it was about this time of year, wasn't it? Played in the same time
of year.
Well,
we had two events.
But
we
you had two events. You had the workday right before where they made it real easy and kind of a nothing burger. Colin Morikawa won that. Then Jack was basically like, hey, we're going to push this thing to the max, because literally as John Rahm was finishing his final round on Sunday, like when he would finish a hole, they'd start ripping up tee boxes and greens. I mean, it was ridiculous. So like Jack baked it out on the weekend, and the place got really tough. I don't know if I'd look at 2020 as much, but I did look at, as I've been doing the last few weeks, strokes gained ball striking at Mirfield Village over the last 24 rounds, just to see tee to green, who's done really well tee to green at Mirfield Village. Not necessarily their finish position, because that doesn't always tell the whole story, but tee to green, who tends to feel, you know, who tends to play this place well, and it maybe suits their eye, or they like something about the course and kind of navigating it. And what else? Strokes gained off the tee, driving accuracy, obviously with what our caddy friends said, being in the fairway is going to be key this week. So that's a big deal. Putting on bent grass, all the above. I'm looking forward to it, Pat. You know, one thing that maybe, actually, I'm now thinking about it with your brother, with DirecTV Perry. You know, you started doing this golf forever thing, and maybe that's really kind of lately what's turned the tide, right? Maybe we need to get Chris on golf forever. I know, you know, you kind of wanted to get in a little better shape. We went down to Sawgrass a few weeks ago. You were like exhausted. You were hot. You were whiny. You were kind of, you know, pissing and moaning a good bit. You needed something, you know, a different workout program you could do from home. And Golf Forever assigns you new workouts and exercises to do every day. It's great because you don't know what to do. You're kind of a dummy with that kind of stuff. The workouts can be done at home with minimal equipment. If they're so simple, even Pat can do them. So he doesn't need to leave his living room. He doesn't have to access expensive gym equipment or a membership. In a couple weeks, he can, you know, you can feel the difference. And next thing you know, people are talking behind him and his brother's back about maybe Pat being the better looking, you know, DirecTV brother. So that's a thing. So if you want to get in better shape, or you want to improve the way you feel during and after a round, check out Golf Forever at golfforever.com. Be sure to enter promo code TOUR99 to get Golf Forever for just $99 a year. That is a $51 savings just because you're a tour junkie. So that's TOUR99 to feel the results for yourself. Golf Forever was co-created by major champion Justin Leonard, Dr. Jeremy James, and they feature experts like Dr. Troy Van Beesen, who works with 5 players ranked in the top 30 in the world golf rankings. It's an app that delivers recommended daily exercise routines, as well as a library of over 500 videos to search for if you just want to do your own thing. And it's good stuff. Promo code TOUR99 saves the Tour Junkie listeners $51 on the annual plan. Maybe that's something you need to send to DirecTV, Pat. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully
well,
he's listening.
I did play some of the best golf a few days ago that I've
you
played
said
in
that.
A good while.
You did say that.
So,
my freaking bulldog is up here snorting. I don't know if you can hear that in the microphone, but good God. All right, let's get into this. You want to get into some picks?
Yeah, let's go.
Because I don't know, you know, I got some ranges in here. I don't know what to do. I think I'm leaning.
Let's get into some picks. Okay, good, because I don't know what I'm going to do.
I think I'm leaning a pretty balanced look. There wasn't a whole lot there's definitely not a lot in the 6K that I love. But I think I'm leaning a little more balanced in here with what the top's got going on. I don't know what to do though. I'm gonna make my decision on the fly. I got a bunch of names that I like, but I got to pick 3 that I would lock in for tournaments, and then I'm gonna give you a fade. You know, you just got to be in the nut hut. You got to read the free articles. By the way, we put up like 4 and 5 free articles a week on tourjunkies.com. You don't have to be a member of anything. They're free. LPGA Tour betting comes out. I think there's a major this week, U.S. Women's Open. You know, all kind of good stuff. The DraftKings preview, full-on preview by AC. You got the Big Balls betting card, the Pivot Point. There's all kind of free content. Go check it out. But, Pat, I'll let you start since I'm going to kind of figure this out on the fly. I'll let you start.
Well, I'm actually going to start without giving you anybody over 10K. And
there's the balanced approach. I guess that's going to be the popular play.
Maybe that's going to be popular and doesn't mean that I'm completely fading this group. But I do think that you can start right there at 9,900 with Victor Hovland. Mm. I love him this week. Now, I do think he is certainly going to have some ownership there, but that's fine. He is a guy that you look at last year, He finished third at the Workday. So now I know it was playing a lot easier for the Workday, but he did finish third there. You know, you look at the stats for him. I mean, he's just been fantastic. He is fourth in the field in ball striking, 12th in strokes gained approach. He is fourth in par five scoring. I did look at proximity from 175 to 200 yards. I think that's what you're going to see a lot of shots in as far as several of these par fours. So he is also checking boxes there. He's seventh in the field on it. And you know what? Hovland's been in great form. I mean, you just cannot beat the form that he's been in as well. So I like Hovland there at 9,900. Then right below him, literally, I'm going to go three in a row here. Three in a row right here. Hovland, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah.
So Xander Schauffele is going to be right there. Love him. 24th in the field in strokes gained approach. He is eighth in par five scoring. Has a decent history here. He finished top 15 in 2020. Top 15 also in 2019. He was T14 at the Workday here last year. So he does have some good history here as well. So I like it. Xander Schauffele at 9,700. And you know what? Patrick Cantlay. I can't believe I'm going on the Patrick Cantlay.
Yes, you know, you're buying it now. My amazing call at the PGA, now you're buying it.
It did. I'm telling you, it did. It did. But he has a fantastic history here. Obviously, he's won here. We didn't mention winners. We probably should have done that when I was talking.
That's on you. You do that.
Yeah, that's on me. But he has won here. He won here in 2019.
William McGirt's won here. Jason Duffner's won here. Bryson
DeChambeau won in 2018. He had John Rahm. You mentioned him last year. Yeah, he has won here as well. So I like Patrick Cantlay also. My fades are going to be Bryson at 10-9.
Oh, two fades? You're going to give two fades?
Yeah. Do we usually go two or
no,
just one?
Just one, but you said my fades are going to be.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with just Bryson then. Okay. Don't like where he is on his approach play right now. You know, you look at his scrambling pretty bad right now. Also, I don't want to play Bryson this week. I don't like him. Not going
to
play him.
Pat's reason to fade every single week. Now, he may give you some other good reasons, but he will always give you, I just don't want to play X this week. Always. Not X like
no, that. I do want to play X.
Yeah, and I was going to say not X like Xander.
I just said, you should say like Y.
Yeah.
You know, like Y equals.
Yeah, yeah. Bryson. Yeah, I got it.
Some algebra stuff in there, like what Bryson would
way, do. Yeah. Too late to be doing algebra. I will make this quick. My fade was Bryson. I did have that one pretty much nailed down. He's gotten progressively worse here since he's won. As he's gotten larger, as the muscles have grown, as his balls have shrunk, as his head has gotten much larger due to the steroid injections, he's gotten progressively worse at Muirfield Village since he won as just a normal-sized person. And he sucks on tracks that have emphasized driving accuracy so far. He still sucks on approach, 57th in approach. You mentioned how he's bad around the greens. I'm out on Bryson, no thanks. All right, so I guess, man, this is... it's really tough for me not to just go Xander and Cantlay for sure. I'm with you 100% on both those guys.
I mean, you just called me out basically for saying, well, Pat's always going to just say, well, he's not going to play him because he doesn't like him. But you're the one that's all indecisive in this category. Like, at least I was showing some decisiveness.
No, I get that. I'm just saying, like, but you always say, I'm not going to play him because I just don't want to this week, which is terrible. reason to say
I don't want to for reasons that I said
you did have reasons tonight. Sometimes you don't have reasons. We can check the tape.
I'm sure you could.
No, listen, I've been banging the Cantlay drum for a couple weeks now. I can't get off of it now. I've been on him now. I do, obviously he's going to get a bump with his record here. Everybody's seen what he did to the PGA. The irons, the approach play that was kind of lost has been found when you look over the last 24 rounds, trending to the last four at the PGA, markedly better. 24 rounds ago, he was 66th in strokes gained approach. Now he's 16th in the last four. So very short term, you see the improvement, you see the trend. Xander, what can you say about Xander? Plays tough golf course as well, and the iron play is amazing. I mean, strokes gained approach is numero uno this week. Now, for my third option, I don't really have a lot of Hovland. I think I'm not going to have a lot of Hovland. I think I'm going to probably live in this Xander Cantlay world. I think I'm doing Corey Connors. in this field at 9,300. He
was actually my second fade.
Was he? Your second fade?
Mm-hmm.
Oof. I mean, obviously the putting is the thing. That's the scary thing. But he's fourth in the field in good drives gained on Fantasy National. He's sixth in approach. And I think there may be some Corey Connors fatigue out there. I think people are like a little just fatigued over playing Corey Connors week in and week out, but he keeps doing it. Like
I got Connors fatigue.
He keeps returning value. So I don't know. I kind of like Connors. Now there are other names in here I really do like. So we'll have to mix that up with the Nut Hutters and help narrow it down. Obviously, ownership's going to play a big key here as well, as it always does in DFS. So we can move on to the 8K range now. Okay. All right, 8K range, you got Sam Burns, you got Ricky Fowler in here bringing up the rear along with Keegan Bradley. Your boy Billy Horschel causing you to take down the Ranch Water bet is a thing. He's here at 8,100 being Florida, being all Floridian down here in the 8,100, you know, wearing weird stuff and doing weird stuff and thinking about some weird stuff maybe. And then you got Louis back after his incredible display of sucking at putting at Kiawa. So it's a good range here. I like this range. I think a lot like Patrick Cantlay, I'm not gonna stop playing Keegan Bradley just because I've been playing him a lot. I'm not jumping off the train. The ball striking is incredible. He's still killing it in that department. He checks every single box except strokes gained putting on Bencoras. He's just doing his thing right now. He's hot. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep riding it. Love some Keegan Bradley. And then I'm going to go in GPPs. I want to see where this guy lands. Maybe he'll be a little more popular than I think, but I like Shane Lowry. I think people are going to love the Charlie Hoffman play. Charlie's obviously playing some really good golf right now. I was looking at his career, Charlie Hoffman's career. If you look at his career on Fantasy National, you just start scrolling on Fantasy National and you look at just the off the tee and approach columns, those two columns. You know, on Fantasy National, it's green if you're gaining strokes and red if you're not. Like, the amount of double green on off the tee and approach consecutive weeks for Charlie Hoffman right now is like some of the best in his career. So he's definitely playing well right now. But I think Lowry is a very interesting pivot. The approach play is there. He checks the box there. The ball striking history here at Mirfield Village is he's 12th in the field in ball striking in the last 24 rounds at Mirfield. He's very good around the greens. He's very accurate off the tee. Putting on Bencoras, he's nails. I think Lowry could be an interesting pivot from a popular Charlie Hoffman. So I'll go with Lowry. And then my fate is Horschel, is the Floridian, Billy Horschel. He just kind of feels least likely in this 8K range to score me a top 10. He's 80th in strokes gained approach, 60th in opportunities gained, which is a proprietary Fantasy National stat that reflects scoring and like approach play, hitting it within 15 feet. And he's 65th around the greens all in the last 24 rounds. I'm out on Billy Ho.
All right, so a lot of differences here. I like Joaquin Niemann at the top at 8,800. I think that now the scrambling does concern me a lot. He is 115th in the field in scrambling, but you look at his ball striking and approach play, it's been fantastic lately. Top 10 in proximity from 175 to 200 yards. Also putts pretty well on bent grass greens traditionally. So I think this is a good setup for Niemann to do well this week at 8,800. And then I do like Hoffman. I mean, I'm sorry. I know that's easy pick.
I like Hoffman.
He is just playing so well right now, and I don't think you can jump off of him. I just don't. And even last week, you know, people were like freaking out because he had a bad round. I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday. It was Thursday. But then he comes back and finishes extremely strong. Because if you just look at the stats, I mean, they are fitting for the last two courses. And Hoffman is just, he's just playing some of the best golf he's played in a long, long time. So I do like him. He doesn't have a great history here. He missed the cut in 2019 and 2018, but if you know, I know it's set up easier for the Workday last year, but he did finish seventh at the Workday. So if you're looking at course history and it doesn't show Workday, he did finish top 10 there as well. So I like Hoffman at 8,300. And then my fade is actually going to be Cam Smith. Again, now look,
You hate all Cam you Smith. Aussie, what is your problem with Cam Smith?
All of you Aussie followers and listeners, I don't hate Aussies. I don't.
What? You hate Cam Smith. Why do you hate Cam Smith?
I don't hate Cam Smith.
I think you do.
I'm fading
I think
him.
You do. I
just because you,
hate you
fade somebody doesn't mean you hate him.
You fade him every week. Every week.
Well.
And he plays good.
Creedy's in the chat again.
Do you not like again. Good? Are you against?
No, I think he's. I actually like Cam Smith. I like him.
I don't think you do, and we need to work through this. What is it about Cam Smith? Are you jealous of his hair? Because yours is kind of thinning. Do you? What is it? Do you think he's?
No. I like Cam Smith. I like him. I think sometimes he gets played a little bit too much.
So you think he's
times.
Overrated?
There are times when he's overrated. Yes.
God. Somebody, y'all help us get Cam on the show. You tweet Cam.
All right, look. So if you look at his history,
you know what?
We're
long overdue for a Pat apology, actually. Remember? The last one was to Billy Huff.
I will gladly apologize to Cam. I think Cam Smith would be the great. I would love it. I think Cam Smith and I could have a great time hanging out, for one. And I would tell him right there, like, hey, I faded you last week. He'd be like,
and the week before, and the week before, and the week before, and the week before. Yeah. Because I don't like you as a person. Okay.
But I'm telling you, I think that I don't think he has a good week. You know, you look at his history here, it's not very good at all. His best finish is T65 over the last 4 years, which he's played it 4 years straight. Now, I did not look at the what he did at the workday. But you look at the stats for Cam Smith also. I mean, right now, 55th in approach, 63rd in ball striking. Yes, his scrambling is always good. He's top 10 in scrambling. 88th in good drives gained. He does putt well on bent grass greens, so I'll give you that. And he's shown that over the years here. But I just don't I don't think that he's going to have a good week. I'm going to fade Cam Smith. And his form has been good. I mean, he finished top 10 at the RBC Heritage, but he was T59 at the PGA on a very tough golf course, like I think we're going to get this week. So Cam Smith will be the bait. Now, if we get a low-owned Cam Smith, which he may be, maybe I'll think about him. This is Monday. It's Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And I've been at the pool hanging out, drinking beer.
Praise God.
And so maybe, praise God. Maybe I missed something on Cam.
Well, I think you did. All right, that's the 8K range. And, you know, when you're in the pool, or when you're at the pool, or you're doing pool, or you're on the golf course and you're getting up in age, especially you got to take care of your skin. We see golfers do it all the time, putting on applying skin stuff, and you know you're out in the sun, you're gonna get spots on your face. You don't want that. So we got some new friends at Caldera Labs they're here for you. Okay, so whether you're tackling dry skin, acne scars, wrinkles, Pat. Or just, you know, you want to do and invest in better skin. You want to do healthy skin. You want to do a healthy face. This is just, this is a good product for you, okay? So Caldera Labs is, they got this stuff called The Good, and it's a facial, multifunctional face serum. And if it's called The Good, if you could just name it The Good, I'm a big fan. I'm a real big fan. Because that's just ball. Like I just love respect to that. They did an 8-week clinical trial proving that The Good works on all skin types. It works great with a beard. If you got a beard, if you got a bald head, you got a dry scalp, you got hair on your head, doesn't matter. Keep it all nice and shiny and moisturized. It's good, man. Best of all, you can try this stuff 100% risk-free. If you don't love it, they will refund you in full. So, you know, it's golfing in the sun, man. The pros do it. You got to take care of yourself. I know my wife has a nightly facial routine. Does your wife have one of those? It's like 7 steps. And until Caldera Labs sent me some good stuff, I didn't do it. And one thing I'll tell you, I've been doing it a couple nights in a row, and it kind of turns my wife on a little bit because she thinks I'm taking care of my face, and she's saying, okay, he's trying not
taking care of my face.
I am too, but this is easy. It's just a serum. You drop it on there, and you put it on your face. You rub it in, it's done. And it kind of...
Does the serum have some weed in it?
No. God.
Did you say that?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Jeez.
What? Okay.
Anyway.
I don't know why that popped in my head. I was just wondering if there was some weed in there.
I'll say all kinds of things.
No. It's just good. It's called The Good, but it doesn't have that in there. But anyway, it just kind of gets my wife going. So do your thing. So this is a special offer for listeners of the Tour Junkies podcast. You get 20% off your first Caldera Lab purchase. Go to Caldera Lab and use discount code Tour Junkies at checkout. That's CalderaLab, Caldera Lab, CalderaLab.com. Use discount code Tour Junkies at checkout to get 20% off. There you go. Let's get to the 7K range here, Pat. 7K range, 7K range. All right, I started the 8K. You start the 7K. What you got?
Okay, well, I'm going to start with my boy, Gary Woodland at 7,900. Woodland is, you took him like a few weeks ago. I think it was the missed cut at the Valspar.
It was, because I told you, I cannot figure him out. I can't.
And I hated that play when you put that bet down. But then I started looking at him, and then if you just look at his last few weeks, he is coming around. I mean, fifth at the Wells Fargo, T38 at the PGA, which could have been a lot better. He just totally just crapped the bet on Sunday. Was in the top five for a while. T14 last week at the Charles Schwab. The guy has just been playing extremely well. You know, you look at the stats. I mean... He fits there from the stats. I mean, he's 24th in ball striking, 25th in strokes gained approach, 32nd in par five scoring. I think he's a guy that can, you know, take advantage of the par five here on this course. He's going to get four of them, obviously. So, and then, you know, Woodland has, pretty good course history. He's made the cut the last 5 years in a row, has a T4 back in 2016. He also finished T5th at the Workday last year. So, you know, you look at everything about Gary Woodland, I think makes a lot of sense. I think he's going to be lower owned at that $7,900 price tag. So I like him in GPPs. And then the next guy, Emiliano Grillo, I find him hard to avoid. If you look at the form that he's in right now.
Yeah. His ball striking is...
Yeah, it's incredible.
Mooey good.
Very good. Now, I know we always talk about Grillo and his putting and all that kind of stuff. I get it.
You know what people don't talk enough about with Grillo is his girlfriend. Holy smokes. Like,
good for him.
You know, people want to talk about Brooks. Let me just tell you. Grillo's girl? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So, Grillo, I like.
Doing a lot of things well, Emiliano Grillo is. And then you know, I was like, Emiliano. Name that movie. You know the movie? Emiliano. In the chat. Anybody?
I don't
know. And then I was all like, Emiliano. Nope. Okay. Producer Sam? Is Producer Sam got it? Anybody? Nope.
Okay. Continue. Okay. All right. Now, I got a lot that I feel like there's several more. We're trying to pinpoint three here in this category. I like Matt Wallace, but I'm not going to choose him. I'm just throwing him out there. Sorry, Producer Sam's throwing up stuff in the chat here about Gorilla's girlfriend. I mean, we're a DFS show, okay? We're getting off the rails here a little bit. Anyway, I'm just going to go with Taylor Gooch at 7,100. Okay. Oh. Now, he's certainly going to be low owned. I like the way that he's played recently. Look at his stats. Oh. He is 20.
Dang it.
20.
It was Emilio. Sorry. It was Emilio. 863 Kane in the YouTube chat is right. The movie was Night at the Roxbury, but it was Emilio because he was talking about meeting Emilio Estevez. So it was all like Emilio, not Emiliano. Bad there. I kind of messed that up, but it was Night at the Roxbury. Great movie.
Okay. Well, if Gooch. Anybody cares what I'm talking about, I'm talking about Taylor Gooch. 7,100.
Right now, everyone's looking up Emiliano's girlfriend.
Yeah, he's 13th in strokes gained approach, top 20 in par five scoring, top 25 in proximity from 175 to 200 yards. He is top 40 also in bent grass putting as well. So I think Gooch has a good chance to play well this week. And you look at, he doesn't have great course history at all, but he did finish T17th at the Workday here. So there's several I think I would love to mention here, but since we're just keeping it right here at this three person range, whatever. Anyway,
yeah,
my fade's gonna be Adam Scott at 7,900. not playing Adam Scott. Done. I can't play Adam Scott till he shows me something. And he's not showing you anything. Not anything even remotely good from ball striking, approach, from whatever. I mean, there's nothing. Putting on bent, he has nothing for us right now. So Adam Scott will be my fade at 7,900.
Well, me and you are on the same wavelength with the fades, man. My fade in this range was easily the most expensive player in the range at Adam Scott at 7,900. His tour is broken, is how you say it in the South. You know, if you can't get it going in the right direction, your towards is broken. And his towards is broken off the tee. And what's crazy is, when you look at his strokes gained off the tee and his driving accuracy numbers, I found something interesting today. You know, he is on the record recently saying that he went and chased some distance. And he's added distance. If you look at his driving distance numbers in the last, you know, few months, he has added a lot of distance. He's hitting it miles further than he was. Low key. Nobody's talking about it, but he is. But he's talked about how he's added distance, and it's hurt his, everybody say it with me, it's hurt his towards, okay? He's not getting his towards good. He's hitting it all over the freaking map. But what's interesting is you can literally put a pin in it after the U.S. Open last year. After the U.S. Open last year, you see on Fantasy National, I'm going back to the red and green, nothing but red. And driving accuracy, good drives gained, whatever you want to look at, nothing but red. From the U.S. Open up, when Bryson just demolished at the U.S. Open, just owned the golf course, and then Adam said, "You know what? I'm old. I need to go do that, and I could be the most handsome and longest driving player on the PGA Tour with an Australian accent. I would kill it. Let me go do that." He did, and he can't hit it in the fairway. And I think you need to do that here. And as you mentioned, he also sucks on bent. And since he hasn't had a top 10 since February of 2020 at the Genesis. That was his last top 10. So, or I'm sorry, he won at the Genesis, but he's only had one top 10 since, my bad. All right. My three plays here, I do like your Grillo play. I like your, I can't have an opinion on the Woodland play. That's about it. I like your Grillo play. I'm going to go with Matt Wallace. You skipped over him, but I can't skip over him. He is checking every single box. He checks every box. Approach, opportunities gained. Strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained around the greens, strokes gained putting on bent grass, good drives gained. He checks every box. Like, the only that's it. He checks. I can't avoid him if he checks every box at 7,400. DraftKings continues to make him a deal. I mean, they continue to, you know, he's a good price. This is his third week in a row. He got a little refresh after the Wells Fargo. The irons have left him a little bit at the PGA and at the Charles Schwab. I'm a little concerned about that, but I think I'm going to roll with it one more week and see what happens. I'm not excited about the irons, but they've been so solid prior to that. I'm just going to roll with it and see what happens. I'm going to believe that the trend is going to stop this week. You know, at Muirfield, it's a big event. I think he's going to show up, so I like Matt Wallace. Then I'm going to go with Patton Kizzire. Like, how good has he been? How good has Patton
been? He's been so good.
Two back-to-back third-place finishes. You know, he's making cuts. I mean, and those third-place finishes, he gained almost 13 strokes on approach alone in those two events. The irons are dialed. I'm going to hope I can hop in on that and you know, catch a piece of those hot irons from Patton Kizzire. He's got, you know, a terrible record here, but he feels like right now he's just on a different level at the moment than he has been in his career. Now he's also
Do you worry a little bit about, and I'm not even looking at his accuracy numbers, but you know, that we mentioned they've tightened the fairways here a little bit. And here's the thing with Kizzire, like the last time I really was on him was the Heritage. And he screwed me because he was all over the place off the tee and he missed a cut. But this is one reason. This is kind of a case here where, you know, sometimes a guy is starting to check boxes, you know, his approach play, all that kind of stuff was looking better. Mm-hmm. And you play a guy and then you may jump off of him because he missed a cut, which is kind of what I did with Kizzire. But then you look at it, you know, T60 the next week at Valspar, T58 at Wells Fargo. But then there's two T3s right in a row, like you mentioned. I love Kizzire this week, but I wonder a little bit about, you know, his accuracy off the tee and whether or not that's going to hurt him this week. So we'll see.
So I know the fairways at Muirfield are a little wider than your Harbortown type tracks. I mean, they're not super tight. I mean, they're tighter, but they're not super tight. And no, that's one reason why I looked at good drives gained. So good drives gained on Fantasy National, proprietary stat, basically says how many times does a player either hit it in the fairway or if they're off the fairway, they still get the green in regulation after. So they're not like everywhere, okay? They're not like off the reservation. They got to punch out or they got to drop or whatever. He's 38th in this field in the last 24 rounds in good drives gained. So like, you know, he's not the most accurate guy in the world, but he's not spraying it everywhere. So there's something that kind of I did look at that, but
I'm just adding a little bit to him because I do like Kazire this week. It's just
it's kind of about the price. 7,300 is cheap. He's a two-time PGA Tour winner, maybe three. No, two-time PGA Tour winner, back-to-back third place finishes. Iron plays hot as anything. Just drop a few putts and hit a few extra fairways and let's go. So it's kind of the upside play with him. I'll tell you another guy who checks almost every box. Harold Varner III right now is playing some good golf at 7,100. I played him last week. He barely made the cut, but then he had a decent weekend. But checks a box in approach, opportunities gained, off strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained around the green, good drives gained. It's just, you know, can he roll in a few putts, which he tends to have a tough time doing. Finished 32nd at the Charles Schwab, gained 4.4 strokes with the irons. Speaking of the Heritage, finished runner-up at the Heritage. I think HV3 is starting to come around a little bit, and I'm gonna ride the hot form and save the money at 7,100 because I do like a lot of those guys up there in that 9K range. So we're gonna have to roll with HV3 to fit those in. Let's hit the 6K. I don't love a lot here at all. Mm. Although, I guess I'm just bad at doing this after 6 years, but like I had no clue Troy Merritt was doing his thing. Did you?
Yeah, I was just looking at this. I literally just looked at that and I was thinking, oh wait, I didn't even see Troy Merritt.
Yeah, I saw back-to-back seventh place finishes. I'm like, oh wow. Well, I'm like, okay, even if you take out the seventh place last week, where was I on noticing that he had a seventh place, a miscut, and an eighth in his last three events? Where was I last week looking at that? I don't know, but I wasn't there. Like, what's happening to Troy Merritt? I mean, he's, like, doing his thing right now. He's 6,900.
Yeah. Three top tens in his last five
this
events.
This is an accuracy track? Like, I don't know. It might be Troy Merritt time at 6,900.
I think it's because his name is Troy Merritt.
It is. I can't stand that guy.
It's the name. Like, you just look at him and you just think, I can't play Troy Merritt.
He looks goofy. I feel like AF. Maybe Sam can pull up a picture of Troy Merritt. I don't know how quickly that can happen, but he looks goofy. What's crazy is I'm wearing a trap golf hat. His caddy is Wayne Odreno. Great dude. A lot of charisma, if you will. He reps trap golf. He's like Wayne Odreno is the coolest person on the in the PGA Tour, and I'm talking caddies and players. Like, there's literally nobody probably cooler than Wayne Odreno, and he caddies for Troy Merritt. Yeah, this guy wearing his Wilson. I don't know. He looks Amish or Mennonite. He looks like he could really like.
You got a problem with the Mennonites?
No.
The Amish?
I love the Mennonites. They make great food over here. But, I mean, he just looks like a guy who, you know, maybe barely uses or just slightly uses electricity. And maybe he churns his own butter. I don't know. He just looks weird. He just looks like a goofball. And then he's got Wayne Odreno on the bag rocking trap golf. And I can't pull the trigger. But, dang, if Troy Merritt ain't doing his thing right now.
I mean, he is. It's hard not to look at Troy Merritt this week.
I don't know.
He's turning some butter. He's turning some butter this week.
Churning. I said churning. I didn't say turning.
Or churning, whatever. You turn it or churn it. I don't care.
You can do both. I think you can do both. Let me guess. You like CT Pan at 6,900, don't you?
I don't have CT Pan, actually. I like Adam Hadwin at 6,700. He's a guy that's had a top 10 finish last week. No. You look at the stats with old Hadwin. Let me get to him here. His approach play is not great, but he is a good scrambler. He's good on proximity from 175 to 200, and also a great putter in general, he's a great putter, but he's 15th in the field in bent grass putting. I like what I've seen from Hadwin. I think Hadwin could have a good week. And I believe he actually has a pretty good history here. Yeah, he does. You look at the last 5 years, he has made the cut 4 of 5 years, and he is a T11 back in 2016. So Hadwin, I think, is a good play. I liked the Amish guy also. And then Lonto Griffin, for some reason, at 68.
I've always loved Lonto.
I don't know. There's Lonto. Not a whole lot that like his recent form is spotty, but he's a great approach play guy. He's great on his ball striking is fantastic. Putts well on bent grass greens. So I like Lonto Griffin as well at 6,800.
Are you getting all excited about Byung-Hun An down there at 6,400?
No, I know. Yeah, he's won. Did he win here? He didn't win here,
no,
but he
never
came
won.
Close.
He's never won. Yeah. He's starting to warm up. I don't know that I'm going to jump on it, but he's starting to warm up a little bit. I love Byung-Hun An. Great Twitter follow. I'm just going to throw some names out there. This guy caught my attention because I saw his name anyway, and I was like, okay, accuracy guy, hits a lot of fairways. He can putt really well, but how are his irons? And when I looked at his irons, they're trending nicely. At 6,300, Peter Malnati. If you look in the last 24 rounds, on Fantasy National, his strokes gained approach, he's 76th in the field. But if you look at the last 8 rounds, he's 47th. If you look at the last 4 rounds, he's 39th. So he's trending nicely. He's potentially a play there at 6,300, super cheap. I mean, I think the popular, maybe not popular, but I think it's 6,100. People are going to be looking at Russell Knox and Kyle Stanley, who got in, or Russell Knox got in late thanks to a withdrawal. Very good iron player, very accurate, awful putter. He just fits that category. But at 6,100, Lord, I mean, Russell Knox, I mean, he's played on the PGA Tour for a long time. I mean, he's got plenty of top tens. With his ball striking, if he could just putt okay, he'd be amazing value at 6,100, I think. And Kyle Stanley, we all know, is Kyle Stanley's the same boat, just cannot putt to save his life. Checks all the ball striking numbers. He's 110th in this field out of 120 in strokes gained putting on bent grass. Poor Kyle Stanley, my God. Even Russell Knox isn't that bad. So I think those two guys are interesting. And last, I guess like Jason Duffner interests me just because he's 6,200 bucks. He's a past champ.
Winner?
That would be past champ. Yep.
Anyway, you said it and it was coming out of my mouth. And then.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Last 24 rounds, Duffner, 30th in the field in opportunities gained. I mean, good drives gained. Second in opportunities gained. Third in strokes gained ball striking at Mirfield Village. You know, just like the other two guys I mentioned, just can't putt. So, I don't know. Those are like some super cheap plays that may be worth a deal. But I don't see myself getting in this range very much at all this week. This is not one of my favorites. Last week, it was like Vincent Whaley week down here in the 6K range. I don't think there's a guy like that this week. I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
All right, man. Good stuff. Good show. That's the DFS preview for the Memorial. We've got to take a little break. We're going to go record the betting show live, and we're going to have a special segment at the end of the betting show so that the podcast juice will be much flowing. Where we're going to talk about, we're going to go ahead and give our Brooks and Bryson takes, because I know, you know, you haven't heard enough of that. You haven't heard enough about that. You really need more of that. So we're going to go ahead and give you that. Going to preview the betting show, talk about some names maybe we haven't mentioned here. Pat, by the way, I got my coasters, amazing coaster. If you order something off the TJ shop, you get one of these fantastic coasters. And speaking of podcast juice, love that one.
You got the ones I shipped to you?
Yeah, thank you. Speaking of merch, this is a big announcement. This is happening right here. Boom. Look at that. Look at that.
Man, I look good.
The
Golf Forever, baby. Golf Forever.
Yes. The Siwoo Kim t-shirts, the Siwoo Ric Flair Siwoo Kim t-shirts are available for pre-order. They're going to be shipping in probably sometime mid to late June. So that's when they're going to ship. And We've already announced this to the Nut Hut last week, and now we are down to single-digit quantities in every single size. So if you want one, you better get on one. We're doing this a limited run, might not reorder. They're $28 plus shipping. If you're a Nut Hut member, you get a 20% off discount. Represent our sweet, sweet South Korean prince, Siwoo Kim. I mean, this is just a beautiful. This is just a beautiful damn shirt. I don't. If you don't like this shirt, that you don't like beauty. I don't know what it is. You just don't. So head over to tourjunkies.com/shop and cop that shirt. The thing is beautiful. Get that Siwoo hitter. Okay. All right. Thanks everybody for watching. We'll see you at the betting show. And yeah, have a great week. See ya. Out.